I am a man on a mission this morning, and because we have a lot of information to get through today. I actually have a 17-minute video that I intended showing on Wednesday night, but didn't have the opportunity to, so y'all are going to get to see that today. And if you have not come to learn something today, then you have come to the wrong place. Amen? Because we're gonna learn about the thinking process, and also got me a new Bible.
Come on.
Now look how thick that thing is. Right? We could be here all week just getting through the first chapter of Genesis. So, look, I want to get right into it this morning because like I said, we have this video that I want to show. And really, it's so good to have a full house today, too. We so much appreciate everybody coming. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. God is doing some great things here at LifeWorks Christian Center, and we welcome everybody, our guests, our visitors. Thank you for being here today. Praise God. Now, we're going to continue our series on discovering your spiritual life. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at one scripture over there. And this is kind of our foundational scripture for this text and or for this lesson. And it's in verse number 23 that I want to draw your attention to this morning. And it says, now, if you're there, say amen. Now, I'm going to be reading this out of the New King James Version. All right? So you're going to have to, if you got your phones, you're going to have to kind of change over on that. For us others who've had the New Living or the King James, you'll have it up here on the, not that, but anyway, we'll have the New King James up here on the board for you. So it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he says, now may the God of peace, the God of who?
Peace.
Now, if he's the God of peace and you are the child of God, what should you have in your life? Should have peace, amen? Now, it is possible to have peace, amen? But peace really comes out of structure, amen? And sometimes whenever people live for God, they think God is not a God of order or that he's a God of structure. Really, God is a God of principles. He's a God of process, amen? And he does things a very definable and a very prescribed way, amen? And if you ever hope to live in God, and if you ever hope to live in the victory of God, you got to find out how God does what he does.
Yes.
Right? I could say it another way. You got to find out how God do what he do.
Yeah.
Amen. That's my East Texas version of that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it tells us that God is a God of order and a God of peace. Amen. So you can have peace and order in your life, but you got to begin to find the strategies that God has placed in his word for that. Now, one of the things that we're going to do today is we're going to look at two parts. Look at your neighbor and say two parts. I want to deal with you on a medical level today, a biological level, in how you think, in how God created you to think, and then we're going to understand how from the realm of the spirit we can impact our thinking. So let me say it this way. You have a brain, right? Husbands, just look straight forward. I know she told you didn't have one, but just look straight. But listen to me, your brain is not who you are. You have a spiritual mind. Amen. Your mind is different from your brain. There's some biological things that the brain is supposed to do, and your soul may be seated in the house of your brain, but your brain is not who you are. This physical organ that you call a brain is not really who you are. It serves a purpose, and it creates as a function that it provides, but you have to understand that you're bigger than flesh. Amen. Now watch this. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Everybody say completely.
Completely.
So that just simply means he's not going to leave anything out of your life. This word sanctify means to set apart. So God has set you apart for a work that he desires to do in you. Now here's one of the things you have to understand about this work. The work of God is always about you. Amen. He's not trying to change others. He's trying to change you. And if you don't open up the word, or if you don't open up the door to your heart to let God get in your heart, what you'll do is you'll end up trying to get God to change everybody around you to accept you for who you are. But the reason they won't accept you for who you are is because of who you are. So God begins to change you. Right? He's changing you to get you to become a person that other people can trust. Right? So it's called character and integrity and responsibility and these other qualities of living in life that come from God that we must develop in our lives. If you've been a liar your whole life, let me just tell you this, stop it. That's a good word. You can call that prophecy if you want to, but just stop it, right? And learn to become an honest person. And so if you're going to become an honest person, then the first work that God has to do is not getting you to become honest with others. He wants you to become honest with you first.
Yes.
We lie to ourselves. We lie to others. Let me give you the progression of how it works. We lie to ourselves, and then we lie to God. And if we're lying to God, we're lying to other people. Amen. Whenever God just simply desires truth from the inward part, he desires you to come to know who he is so that you can come to understand who you are in him. Amen. Now watch this. He goes on to say here, he says, and he says he wants to sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, everybody say spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says, he who calls you is faithful, and he will, and who also will do it. Amen. So he says he wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to be complete both in your spirit, your soul, and your body. We've said this already. You're not your body. You possess a soul, but you are spirit at the core of who you are as a person. Amen? Now that spirit, I don't know if I have time for that. The spiritual part of who you are, while Adam sinned in the garden, and God told him the day that he sinned by eating from the tree of the fruit of good and evil, eating of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, that he would die. Now, whenever he did eat of that tree, he did die. But he did not die spiritually, and he did not die physically. What died was his connection to God. And what was lodged in his spirit was this, what the Bible tells us is a wickedness or a twisted state, a bent to evil now. Whereas before, in the position they were in, they had a leaning toward, or they were born out of righteousness. And there was the glory of God upon them. And so whenever they sinned, what happened is the glory departed from them because the glory could not stay on what God did not create. Yeah. Amen? Oh, that's a word. Sometimes we create stuff God won't touch. Amen. So then sometimes we get relationships God won't touch because he's not the one who created. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, you know, they that labor in vain. Amen. Now, okay, so watch this. Go with me over to Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm going to have to set this up for us so that we can understand the video that we're fixing to watch, and then I'm going to show you how to spiritually impact your thinking process in a spiritual way so that you can have some natural results. Amen. Oh, I need to say this. Let me just say a couple things to you here. Number one, to be led by the Spirit of God requires that you understand the laws that dictate how we think as a people. Amen? Amen? To be led by the Spirit of God requires that we understand the laws that dictate how we think. How you think and what you think about has a direct impact on the results you have in life.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Does everybody get that?
Amen.
Watch this. It is the type of thoughts that you allow to dominate your thinking that will ultimately determine the type of person you think you are. And who you think you are determines what you do. What you do determines what you have. Amen?
Amen.
And now watch this. You may have thought God was determining what you have. No. God leaves what you have up to you based upon your choices. Your choices are produced by the things that you let dominate your thoughts. Amen? Now watch this. How you think is not the way you have to think.
Amen.
Now that may not sound deep, but it is. Now watch this. How you think is not the way you have to think. You were just told that you were supposed to think that way. Amen? Now the Bible tells us that you can know a tree by the fruits or the results. You can know your life by the results that you're having. If you don't like the results that you're having, what it means, you need to change what you're thinking about. And give yourself permission. Look at your neighbor and say, I give you permission. Now watch this, to think a different way. And it really is okay, right? If you keep doing what you've always been doing, you're going to always get what you've always been getting. Amen? You can have nothing new if you don't do something new. Amen? You'll never have something out of nothing. Nothing is just as real as something, but you cannot use nothing like you can something. Something is at least usable. Nothing, you cannot even use it. Amen? So if you continue to do nothing, you only get nothing in return. But if you do something, you'll get a little something in return. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Just get a little something, and God can maximize the small into larger. God's real good at multiplying stuff. Amen. And watch this now. Our dominating thoughts are produced by those things that we have allowed to become our dominant environment. Right? It comes out, our dominating thoughts are produced or comes out of the environment that we create for ourselves. Amen? It is the things that we allow ourselves to be exposed to in our environment on a consistent basis that produces our dominant thoughts. So watch this. What is it the thing that you think about the most? Well, what you think about the most, you're going to talk about the most. Okay. And at some point, it's going to begin to form beliefs and habits in your life. But all of that's coming from what in the environment that you're letting yourself live in. Who are your friends? Who do you get information from? Who influences you in your life? That's why he tells us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, come out and be ye separate from those. He says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Amen. He says, what does the temple of God have to have anything to do with the temple of the devil? So what he's telling us is that we need to learn, if we want to maximize our life, we have to learn how to separate ourselves from an environment that's not taking us into the place that God designed for us to go. Amen? Now look, you got to take ownership for that. It's not the pastor's fault. Amen? It's not the elder's fault. It's not the deacon's fault. It's not your mama's fault. It's not the government's fault. Amen? You got to take responsibility for the environment that you're in. If your friends are killing them, cut them loose. If they're not on your side, let them go. Amen? If you were taught growing up that it was wrong to succeed, you got to change the way you think. Hallelujah. Now watch this. No one is broken because God wants them broken. No one's poor because God wants them poor. No one's in some sort of prison because God wants them there. Most people are where they are, broken or successful, simply because of the environment they have consistently allowed to dominate their thinking. Yep. I'm done. I'm going to go home. I'm finished for the rest of the day. Because if you can get that concept, you can change your results by changing the way that you think. Yeah. Amen? Now, I came on this principle years and years ago. It's been, decades now. I'm living in decades. That's all right, though. So so century marks is where we're trying to get to now, right? So some people, they get confused with thinking that everything that's happening in their life, that there's somehow or another God is setting outside of that, directing all of these negative events to come into their life to make them pay for some sort of thing they don't even know what they do or what they did. And as a result of that, because they're living under condemnation, they accept everything that's coming in their life as being something that's directed from an external source, not realizing that really what's happening in their life is coming from an internal source within them. Oh, yeah. Amen? Until you locate that in your life, until you understand that, then you're all confused about John chapter 10, verse number 10, that tells us this. He says, the thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give life and that more abundantly. Amen? And if you're not convinced, and if you don't understand, and if you've not eradicated condemnation out of your life, you will actually put Jesus in the place of the devil and think that he's the one causing the stealing and the killing and the destroying going on in your life. Amen? Oh, somebody help me here today now. Now watch this. If you're not willing to identify who the blessing or the source of blessing is in your life, well, then you might pick the wrong one. Either Jesus came to save, to heal, to deliver, to set you up as a victorious person, which is what his word says, or he came to make this life a rotten life for you. Amen? Now, I've just made up my mind that he's on the blessing side of things. And the way I came up with that is because that's what's in the Word. The Word tells me that. Right. Amen? And we'll look at that here in just a little bit. So Proverbs chapter 23. I told y'all Romans 8, right? Yes. All right. Now hold yourself right there in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to jump right over to Proverbs chapter 3. I've got to show you a principle. 23. I'm sorry. I have about 15 scriptures running through my head at any given time. So Proverbs 23, if you're there, say amen. I want you to go to verse number 7. Now, here's the principle that I want you to see. He says, for as he thinks, and he's speaking of a man, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, look, he's setting us up with the principle here on how things work. Now, listen to me whenever I say this. There's a Proverbs 23 and 7. There's a connection between your heart and how you think. Amen? There's, I'm going to say it one more time. There's a connection between the spiritual part of who you are and how you think, both naturally and spiritually. Right? Do we have the same scripture?
Yep.
We do. Okay. So as he thinks, so is he in heart. So he's given us a principle here that it's our thinking process connected to our spiritual part that impacts our results. Amen? Now watch this. Go back with me over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Go over there with me real quick. Romans chapter 8. If you're there, say amen. All right. Now look what it says here in verse number 1. We're going to read a few scriptures here, and then we're going to do the video. Right? Now, how many grown-up people I have in here today? All right? So the video I'm going to show you is actually from a TED Talk. It's by a guy named Dr. Joe Dispenza. And he's a research doctor, and he's identified some of the things that on a biological level and how the mind or how the brain works. But let's read in Romans 8 in verse number 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Everybody say no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now let me just say this in context of what I'm talking about right now is that he's saying that you need to root condemnation out of your thinking process. And this, the condemnation can just simply be seen as having a guilt complex before God for absolutely no reason, right? I mean, how many, you know, so whenever I was younger and I was more immature, if I was in a room with a group of people and somebody in the room got mad, even though I wasn't talking to them, I would think it would be my fault because I was insecure. I thought maybe, obviously, I must have done something wrong, even though I hadn't said anything to the person. And so watch this. Now, in Adam, we're born into condemnation in this sense of guilt before God, even though we didn't commit the sin that Adam committed. Amen? But after we come to Christ, he tells us here in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, he says that if we're in Christ Jesus, there's now no condemnation. I could take you on through Romans 8 and says, is it God condemning you? And the Bible says, no. He's the one who purchased for your salvation and your freedom, praise God. Amen. And so oftentimes, whenever we approach God, we don't come boldly into the throne room of grace. What we end up doing is we come timid into the throne room of grace, and we're ashamed to be there because we feel guilty before a holy and just God that we obviously think he doesn't want to have anything to do with us, whenever the Bible says right the opposite of that.
Right.
Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Amen. God wants to raise you to another level in your life, but what keeps you from it is living in this condemnation. And here's what condemnation does whenever they're before God. They want to talk about how bad they feel, not about how good he is.
Right.
You're so holy. You're so just. You're so right. And I'm just so terrible. And I'm so bad. And I'm so ugly. And I would really be doing good if I had this and I had that. Look, you can never fix a problem by focusing on the problem. You can only fix a problem by focusing on the solution. Become who he says you are, and you'll stop being what you made of yourself. Hallelujah. Verse number 2, watch what it says right here. I'm sorry, look. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now watch this. Whenever he's referring to words like the law, what he's saying that there's a prescription to this thing. Right? Laws are not ambiguous. They're not hidden. They're not veiled. They're not mysterious. Laws are very clear. You do this, you get that. You do this, you'll have this. Amen? So he says here that if we're in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it will make us free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. Verse number 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? Now, how many would like to know for sure that you're walking in the Spirit and not the flesh? We all want to know that, right? I mean, really, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be who God wants me to be. And I just need to understand how to make that happen. So if God wants me to live in the Spirit and not in the flesh, then he has to be very clear about showing me how to do that. Amen? I mean, the math teacher couldn't give you a quiz over algebra if they never taught you algebra. Amen? And they never shared with you what the concepts and the principles of it are, right? So look what it says here in verse number 5. He says, Oh, I need to go back and just say this. Verse number 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Now, here's what I need you to understand about what God has done for all of us, that whenever he put whenever he enacted salvation, which is being born again, and then ultimately the life that we have as believers, he didn't cheat the devil. He didn't deceive the devil. And he didn't get a bargain price or a blue light special at Kmart. He met the requirements for you to fully belong to him. Amen? Whenever he took you out of the kingdom of darkness, he took you out he owned you, but he bought you. The devil has no more claim because he's satisfied in the payment for you. He satisfied the requirements. So you are holy, 100% belong to God. He didn't cheat the devil. He didn't steal from the devil. Amen. The Bible says that you have been redeemed, bought with a price, brought back into the beloved, praise God. Amen. So there's a confidence point that we can have as believers to recognize that God didn't get me in some kind of slim, shady way. Amen. He didn't sneak in on the devil. No, the Bible says that whenever he went down into the depths of hell, it says that he got up and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave and made an open shame of the devil in his own home. God dogged out the devil because he could. Yeah, I appreciate your enthusiasm this morning, but watch this. He says, verse number 5, for those who live according to the flesh, right? Watch this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So let me go back and say this to you. How does a person generate and develop thoughts and thinking processes? It comes from the environment that they have consistently exposed themselves to. Amen? I was going to say men, but I'll say men and women in this. It's no wonder that if you spend 5 hours a day looking at pornographic images on the computer, that you cannot get your mind away from the lust that's in your mind now because you spent all this time creating an environment that makes you think of things that are real that are not real. Any one of those women or men that you see in those pictures wouldn't have a minute to do with you. Because you don't have enough money. Amen? Now watch this. For people who are successful, they have just simply chosen to create a consistent environment of success in their life. So that the only thing that produces stimuli for their thinking are the successful images that they've allowed to be in the environment that they've created. Godly people have learned how to develop godly environments that is led by the Spirit of God, and that's why they think on the things of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah! I needed that a long time ago. Right? Right? So watch this, verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now we know what the problem is. Listen, this thing is not about being halfway in, halfway out. One foot on this side of the fence, the other foot on the other side of the fence. For this thing to work with you, you got to be all in. I didn't say neck deep. I said all in. Yeah. Ezekiel was taken to a river, and the Lord told him to go out, and he went out to his knees. And the Lord said, keep going. And that river was an analogy and a type of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, keep going. He went out to, the Bible says, to where it came up to his chest. How much farther? He says, keep going. And he says, after a while, he was in waters to swim. Meaning that he had gotten in over his head, praise God. Let me tell you, it's okay to go in over your head with God. Amen. Amen. Just look what treading in water has done for your life. Amen. Go ahead and just go on out a little bit further, praise God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I will get happy up here all by myself. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Means hatred. It hates God. Amen. So whenever you're trying to play with the world's things, ultimately what that's going to produce in you is going to produce a hatred in you about the things of God. You don't want to go to church no more. You don't want to hang out with church folk no more. Amen. Don't want to give you tithe no more. Hallelujah. Amen. I got me one amen in the back. I was waiting to see if the back was going to say something. But to be carnally minded is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, everybody say me, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, everybody say therefore, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. What has the flesh ever done for you? It's got you addicted. It's got you messed up. Got you tore up from the floor up.
Yeah.
Amen. Got you praying at night whenever you came home from a long weekend. Never prayed in your life except when you get too drunk to hold it. And then you got one foot on the floor and you're praying, God, please don't let me throw it down. Y'all quiet on me right now. Right? And watch this. He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put the death of the body or the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, all this is coming under the context of how you think. Amen? That's what he told us over here in verse number 5, 6, and 7. He says, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if you by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse number 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, I'm going to bring you back to context on this scripture. Let's just say it this way. For as many are led in their thinking by the Spirit of God, then they are the sons of God. Amen? Because that's what he said over here, is that we need to be led spiritually in our thinking process. Amen? Does everybody get that? All right, now here's what I want to do. Now, this is an older video, so the quality is not that good. And so, you know, this is a doctor giving a TED Talk. Everybody know what TED Talks are? Right. So this is something that that really you should, instead of watching TV, watch TED Talks. It's a lot more informative on there. And so it's roughly about, in just enough time, it's going to be just enough time. And so what I want you to do is I want you to watch this, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give you two scriptures behind it that's going to reinforce what we say. But what he's doing in this video, he is going to show you how, on a biological level, how you form thoughts. Amen? So if we got it, make sure our volume's good. Let's roll it. I would have explained that, but I thought I'd go ahead and let him do it. So did everybody get the flow in that? Everybody understand how that you can change how you think based upon what you're willing to create in your environment? Amen? Now, I have three scriptures I'm going to give you. First is going to be in John chapter 6 and verse 63. It just came to me as we were standing back there. The Lord spoke that scripture to me because I'm going to show you before you get out of here, and we're not going to be long. I'm just going to show you how to impact your thinking, spiritually speaking, so that you can begin to disconnect from memories of condemnation and start living in some freedom that God has promised you, that God has not withheld from you. But you've built a wall between you and what God really wants to do in your mind, and you've been thinking from a place of condemnation, guilt, and shame that you can never possess this stuff, but it's only because somebody told you to be guilty. It's only because you learned how to live in condemnation, not because you're really condemned before God, because you're not. John, where did I say turn?
Six.
John 6 and verse number 63. So we got to have a starting point, right? So you got to have a starting point. Now look what he says here in verse number 63. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And watch this. The words, the what? What is it? That I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Oh, I need you to get that with me for just a moment. These are not natural words that he's giving us. He's giving us natural words that have spiritual impact and spiritual meaning. Amen? And you have to ingest the natural word in order to release the spirit of the word into your life that produces life. Because you got to get your mind in agreement with what's already happened in your spirit. You're saved, delivered, healed, whole, complete. It's already happened in your spirit. God is now trying to get your mind over to what He's already done in your spirit, praise God. Amen? Now, here's how we do it. Are you ready for this? Come on, go with me to Joshua. You got to go with me to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Come on, y'all get there. Hurry, 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 hurry. I'm running out of time. Joshua chapter 1. Are you there? He says, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's talking about the word of God. It is spirit and it is life. Here's how, if you take what he said, that you can't just forgive your mother-in-law one time and then find your name on the stained glass window. It's something you have to do over and over. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you got to do this thing over and over. Now, watch this. God did that on purpose. So that whenever you have a belief that is true, it's very hard for you to release it. Because when God originally created you, He didn't create you to have bad information. He created you to only have the information that He wanted you to have. But because of what Adam did, Adam exposed us to a different set of laws and a different set of information that actually causes us to run from God, not to God. So now we have these two competing forces in our life of either going back into condemnation or living in the freedom of the Spirit. Amen? Ooh, hallelujah. So watch what he says right here, verse number 8, Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law, now again, let's just say this, the Word of God, which is what? Spirit and life shall not depart from your mouth. Now what does that mean? That means you got to confess this thing. Right? Whenever that thought arises in your mind that's been defeating you for years, you got to rise up in your voice and say, no, the Word of God says I'm to have a life and that more abundantly. His Word says I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm complete, I'm whole. I'm not going to receive condemnation, guilt, and shame and defeat in my life anymore. And he says that the more that I do this, the more I change my perception of myself. No, watch what he says here. He says, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, he gives us a process here. He says, number one, you've got to get a Bible. And you got to get the Bible in your mouth. Amen. And then you got to get the Bible in your mind day and night. And then he says that you may observe. Now, watch this. Don't put it in your mouth. Don't put it in your mind, and you'll never do it. Amen? You can carry one with you if you want to. You can have it on the floorboard of your car if you want to. It can be on your book table collecting dust, and it will not impact the way that you think in that state. You've got to put the word in your mouth. You got to get it in your mind. And then out of the spirit, you begin to do what you've been training yourself to do. Amen? Now watch this. There's no mystery to that. There's no goosebumps to that. But it's very powerful in its effect. Because he says the result of this is, look, for then you, everybody say you. Look at your neighbor, say you. You means what? Means me will make my way prosperous. And then I will have good success. Could I have been making the mistake that I've been waiting for God to make me successful and prosperous whenever he's told me if I'll get his word, which is spirit and life, in my mouth, in my mind, out of my heart, I will begin to do the things that make a person successful and prosperous. Yes. Amen? Yes. Now listen to me. So you say, well, Pastor, how do I put all this together? Well, look at your finances. If your finances are messed up, if you're paycheck to paycheck, you're really broke. I know you're paying bills, but God said abundant life. So it doesn't mean that you got to focus on the negative in your bank account. You got to get the word on prosperity in your mouth, in your mind, and begin to do it out of your heart, and it will change your condition. Yes. But the way that you change that is that you got to first change your environment. I cannot let my broke friends take me to the place they're going to. Right? If you have relationship challenges, you got to get the word that spirit and life on relationships in your mouth, in your mind. And then you become the person and you got to beat them off. Y'all get that here in just a minute, right? Right? I mean, we ought not be chasing nobody. People ought to be chasing the people of God, because we in covenant relationship with the God who makes us better people. Glory to God. Okay. I got one more. Romans 12. Romans 12. Actually, I got a whole bunch more. But I got to stop. Romans, what did I say turn? I said Romans 12. Glory to God. Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
I got me some happiness up in here today. Yeah. Now look what he says here. Joshua tells us you got to come at this thing day and night. You got to meditate in it. You got to get it in your mouth. You got to get it into your actions, and it's going to begin to change who you are. Romans 12, 2 tells us what happens whenever we go through that process. And it says here in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, right? He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So whenever he says here, do not be conformed, he's talking about don't let your mind, your thought process, be thinking like everybody else is thinking. Amen? Whenever you were born again, you were brought into a higher level of spirituality, and you can think on a different level. Amen? And you don't have to live life in natural results. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, this word transformed is the same word that they use for how a butterfly or how a worm goes, or a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. It's called metamorphosis. That you can look at this caterpillar, and if you'll leave it alone and let it do what it's supposed to do, then after a period of time, it becomes a butterfly. Amen? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I use worms for fishing, but I'll watch a butterfly. Amen? And so he says your life can literally be transformed from one place to another place if you allow the Spirit of God to invade your thinking so that you're led by the Spirit, entering into those things that God has for you. Can you say amen? And you say, well, Pastor, what is really the end result of that? Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it's my last place, I'm telling you. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I know they don't have, but if you can throw it up there, do it real quick. I'm just going to go ahead and start reading it. In verse number 1, it says, now it shall come to pass. Everybody say it'll come to pass for me. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, which is his word is spirit and life. And he says to observe carefully all his commands, which I command you today, simply means I'm not going to be a joker with this. I'm going to do what it says to do. I'm going to live the way it says to live. That the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all, everybody say all, these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle and the offsprings of your flock. Blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing on you and your storehouse and in all which you have set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people to himself. Just as when he sworn it to you, if you keep his commandments of the Lord, your God will walk and your God and walk in his way. Then all people, say everybody, shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain. I don't want something natural. I want something supernatural. I don't want something that comes from this world. I want something that's out of this world, praise God. Total, go ahead, come on up. I said, I want something out of this world, praise God. He says that he will open up heaven to give rain to your land in its season. That means he's going to bless your business. He's going to bless what you do. He's going to bless you on your job, praise God. And all the work of your hand, you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, change the way that you think, which I'm commanding you to do today, and you're careful to observe them so that you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left and go after other gods and serve them. He's telling us you got to be persistent and you got to be focused if you want to see things change. Amen? It's not what you do once that matters. It's what you continue to do that has the impact. And though it may start off small, it shall increase. Because the word of God sent out, the Bible says, shall not return to him void. God is looking to send a word into your life to produce a harvest and a fruit that gives glory to him. He says in Matthew 5:16, he says, let your light so shine. Let your deeds go out in such a way that it causes men and women to praise the Father for what he's doing in you. Doesn't matter to me today how dysfunctional your situation is. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to God how far down the pit you went. The only thing God is interested in, are you willing to come out? Are you willing to live life on a different level? And I know that you may have been deceived by other pastors and other people, and I know that may sound crazy or weird, but they may have told you just hang out and wait and see what God will do. I found oftentimes that all I did was hang out and wait and see what God would do. 10 years later, still waiting. No, no, no. God blesses what you do. Be not a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. For he that pays attention to it, in John 1:25, he says, and God will bless you for what you're doing in the word. The word produces. The word changes. And whenever you take this word in your life, you're being changed spiritually in your thinking process. And then once you begin to become changed in your thinking process to where you become spiritual in your thoughts, then you're being led by the Holy Spirit into places eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has ever entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But the Holy Spirit hath revealed those things to us. Amen? How many is ready to have a life that works? Amen? How many is ready to be blessed coming in and going out? Look. Getting a raise on your job is great. But that's what a man did for you. Let God elevate you to where you own the business. Amen. Been on depression medication for years. Been on psychosomatic medication for years. I understand you can go through a process or whatever, but let God elevate you to where the doctor tells you you don't even need medicine anymore. Amen. He can do that. Been living in addiction, and I understand you're going through some ways to help you and all of that, but get before God and let him allow him to change the way you've been thinking about that, and you begin to lose the things that hold that addiction into your life and live in a whole new level of freedom. Can we stand for just a moment? I just want to stand for just a moment here this morning. I wanted to say some things to you, church. One of the best days of my life was the day that I got busy for God. And I stop hanging out. There's times you need to wait on God. There's times that you need to be patient. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. But that word wait doesn't mean to sit. It means to serve. And so while I'm waiting on the next place, I can begin to serve God in the place that I'm at. As he begins to move me and escalate me. And let me tell you how he's going to do it. He's going to give you a word. He's going to put you in front of some good teaching. He's going to reveal something to you so that you can begin to eradicate those things in your mind and those memories that have been holding you back. Right. We all have memories. We all have trouble. We all have pain on some level, in some place. We all have dealt with it on some degree, in some degree. But Paul said, while forgetting those things that are behind me, I lay hold the prize, the high mark, the calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm wondering today if I just need to say, and I'm just going to speak a word over you today. And I want to say this to you, spiritually speaking, I want to say this to you. I give you permission to let go of yesterday. I know you've been hanging on to it because you find a certain level of comfort in that pain, and it's sometimes easier to dance with the devil that you do know. But I'm going to tell you today that it's okay to let that go. God has something better for you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has something better for you today. I know you've gone through it, and you maybe even thought God forsook you in it. But he hasn't. He's been with you every step of the way. It's just we've been living on our side of the fence. We've been living on our side of being led by the flesh and by thoughts and things that have tormented us. And the enemy's checked us. He's got us right where he wants you. And I'm telling you today to let it go. Crawl over the other side of the fence. Get on the other side and let God begin to do something in you and bring life, and that more abundantly. It begins with making a decision to get into the Word. It begins with making a decision to get committed to getting into the Word of God and allowing the Spirit of God to bring revelation into your life about who you truly are in Him. Then yesterday won't matter. The only thing that'll matter is be what God is doing today and what He's going to do in your life. Praise God. They'll call you blessed coming in and they'll call you blessed going out. You'll be the head only and not the tail. You'll be what other people want to be. You'll be the door they knock on, asking for help in their lives. You say, how can God use somebody like me? Our testimony in that is that God is looking for exactly somebody like you. Because whenever He's done with you, you know that you'll not be able to take any credit for what's happening in your life. You'll know that it was God who did it in you and through you, praise God. And I break the chain and I break the stronghold of the devil off the lives and the minds of people here today. And I command darkness to flee in Jesus' name. And I speak a word of clarity and light from the Word of God to penetrate our thinking and our thoughts and our beliefs so that we might truly live as children of God in this dark world. In Jesus' name. And we take authority over all the powers of hell that have tried to discourage us and dissuade us. And we declare in the name of Jesus over our own life that we shall overcome in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, I need somebody to get a little excited with me this morning. We shall overcome in the name of Jesus. Every door of opportunity, every door of grace, every door of favor is open to me because I'm a child of the living God. So no more small living, no more defeated living, no more regrets of the past and of yesterday. It's under the blood, praise God. I'm a new creature created in Christ Jesus, living a spiritual life that's born and raised by my Father and the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we speak a word of healing over your people in Jesus' name. Healed, spirit, soul, and body. And let today be the benchmark, Father God. Let today be the moment where the Spirit of God invaded our thoughts and that we became led by the Spirit, that we followed you in these things. We followed you in your way. And Father God, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we strip away the chains, the weights, the cares, the things of this life that so easily set us up and trip us up. We are who you say we are. And we shall do what you say that we can do. And we'll be who you say we are. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to take your right hand. I just want you to kind of lift your hand, the arm up in the air. And I just want you by faith, just clench your fist and grab a hold of the promise of God. That belongs to me. My life is changing today in Jesus' name. I've released the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me in my life. And I lay hold of the promises of God. In Jesus' name, things are changing for me. I said again, things are changing. Come on, say that with me. Things are changing for me. Right now, today, things are changing for me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you love Him, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Amen. I'm going to allow you to be seated. We want to see this morning's tithe and offering. Praise God. I'm going to do a couple of things here. We also have a little very, very, very short video clip that we have. You know, anytime you live for God, there ought to be results.